making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Donald Trump, our president, gave a powerful speech yesterday talking about national security. Here is a short clip from that speech.
First, we must protect the American people, the homeland, and our great American way of life. This strategy recognizes that we cannot secure a nation if we do not secure our borders. So for the first time ever, American strategy now includes a serious plan to defend our homeland. It calls for the construction of a wall on our southern border, ending chain migration and the horrible visa and lottery programs, closing loopholes that undermine enforcement, and strongly supporting our Border Patrol agents, ICE officers, and Homeland Security personnel.
Now, this is so key. One, because the political issues that he just touched on are very real, and I'll get to that in a second. But two, the weird dynamic about what Trump is saying is that we are dealing with a group of people here that hate this country. I don't know if that's really sunk in to people yet. And I know that it's hard to grasp until you actually witness it firsthand and you hear the vitriol in these people's voices when they do these Trump protests and they say they hate America. USA sucks. Down with USA. So it shouldn't be surprising when Trump puts out a national security plan that puts America first, that wants to protect our country. These people hate our country. They are doing whatever they can from within to destroy our country. But aside from that, you know, Trump brings up chain migration. This story was in the Washington Examiner yesterday. I didn't get to it during the show, but it's very, very important. The headline is Trump rips chain migration, $300 billion cost to the American taxpayer, and one immigrant can bring in 120 more. What does that mean? More than 9 million, almost 9.5 million immigrants came here via chain migration in the last decade. And then it's got the charts and the flow charts and everything, and it compares how many immigrants are coming in with these other programs versus the chain migration program, how many come in with skills and assets. And it's bad, folks. It's bad news. There's no vetting process. Most immigrants come to this country through chain migration. There's no standard of coming here at all through this program. And you have 9.3 million in one decade. Now, aside from the national security problems that we have here, and you obviously had recently terrorists coming here from the chain migration program, from the visa lottery program. Yes, terrorists that harmed Americans coming in through these Democrat programs. Not only do they cost us a lot of money, $300 billion specifically, in this chain migration deal, but this is why the Democrats really want it. You see, it's not about cutting taxes and saving money and cutting the government fat. It's not about securing this country. It's not even about multiculturalism. It's not even about tolerance. It's not even about wanting to have more immigrants here to contribute to our society. That's not what this is about. This is 100% about votes. 100% about votes. That's what you need to understand about chain migration. The reason Democrats want chain migration is because, as you can see here, 9.3 million in one decade, that's what we call a voter block. And what do? They move them into big cities, and then they try to dominate elections with those voter blocks. That's why they want chain migration. They don't care about national security. They don't care about the people that come here. They just want more votes. We'll be right back.
This is the War Room.
This is the War Room. I am your host, Owen Troyer, and we are live from Austin, Texas, the InfoWars World Headquarters, the final home stretch here of the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. Glad that you could be joining us. Thank you so much for supporting us, for tuning in to the 34-hour live broadcast here at InfoWars.com/show. We've got an exciting conclusion to the 34-hour live broadcast today on the War Room. In the first hour, I'm joined by Brandon Tatum. In the second hour, Roger Stone is in studio with Tyler Nixon. He'll be staying over into the third hour with me to get into some of the details right now as far as the reports we're seeing about the legality of Mueller's team obtaining the documents in the Russian probe, specifically the Trump team emails. So Tyler Nixon will be breaking that down with me with all of his legal expertise. I have stacks of news here. If you guys want to do a quick dot cam, today's one of those days where if I get through all of this news, that is like a superhuman effort. So I'm going to try to get through all of the news that I have here today, but it's going to be quite an effort to do that. Now, in the last opening segment, we heard Trump talking about our borders and talking about chain migration. I then broke down why he was calling out chain migration specifically. But now let's look at a case study as to why you cannot have open borders and you cannot force multiculturalism. French mayors panic as migrants overwhelm cities, beg Macron for help. Now, as you can see here, there's a map at the bottom of that, guys. Basically, they are just flooding the big cities with the migrant population, which most of it now is coming from the Middle East. It used to more come from Africa, but now it's more coming from the Middle East, which has, well, you've seen what that's done to France. As you can see in the southeast portion of France, right where Nice is, where you had a terror attack. Very, very red. How about Paris up there in the north? See all that red? Oh, so you're telling me that French politicians use it as a voter block as well? Wow, why shouldn't I be shocked? But now you've got the mayors realizing that what they've done here is they've created a situation that is on the brink of an emergency. And now the mayors of France don't know what to do with all these migrants. They're getting violent. They aren't really contributing to society. They don't really have any prospects, and they kind of end up just kind of being miscreants, vagrants. There were protests. I don't know if it's still going on. I mean, it was an ongoing story. I don't know if it might still be going on. It just kind of lost its luster. Protests and riots in Paris every night because of these migrant groups now trying to make no-go zones. And we just don't want that. It's not that we don't like people or we don't want more people here or we don't want immigration. We want smart immigration. We want to make sure that America continues to be great and isn't brought down to the dregs of a third world nation. Like, I mean, look at what has happened in Sweden, folks. It's really ridiculous, but all kinds of news here. I'm not even sure where to begin. Let's look at some of this stuff coming out here. You know, Trump is such a Russian agent. I had this story. I talked about it yesterday, but I went back and I did a little research, so I wanted to cover it again. The headline was New York Fed raises U.S. fourth quarter GDP growth view to near 4%. So they're saying it could get to 4%. And yesterday, I was alluding to the fact that Obama barely even got to 2%, never even saw a 3% GDP growth, never saw one quarter of 3%. I think he was the first president ever, perhaps, to never see 3% GDP in a growth in one quarter. But I was saying yesterday, I'm pretty sure now that with this most recent GDP growth that Trump has now doubled any best effort or any best number from the Obama administration. Went back, looked at that. That's right. So President Trump, fourth quarter and just the fourth quarter since he's been president, fourth quarter GDP growth nears 4%. That is double anything we saw under Obama for 8 years. 8 years. Obama didn't get one quarter of 3%. Trump's been in for 1 year, fourth quarter, doubles anything we saw under Obama. That's what happens when you stop these regulations. That's what happens when you have a president in there that doesn't hate this country. Single family housing starts, permits hit 10-year high. So you got all of these different housing indexes, housing markets hitting new highs, confidence in the housing market hitting new highs. You had black unemployment just hit a record low. Latino unemployment hit a record low. And no matter what you think about these tax deals, the tax deal did just pass in the House. Trump's tax plan did just pass in the House. We'll see if it passes in the Senate. I'd be shocked if it did. It's not a perfect tax deal, but based on the research I've done, I will be getting a tax cut, but not much of one. The big tax cut does come for corporations. So when you see the liberal press trying to demonize Trump about the big cats getting big tax cuts, well, they are actually right. Trump wants to cut the corporate tax rate from 35 to 20, but the plan here is to get jobs. And I know that I believe it was Gerald Celente that was on with me last week who disagreed with me, but Gerald's the expert. But I got to say, I don't see how this tax plan is not about jobs, because it's all about bringing businesses back so that they can hire more people. And I think that that's what Trump is planning on doing. And then when he's asked about it, he says it's about jobs too. So we'll see if it passes the Senate. I don't know if this passes the Senate tonight, because here's the deal, folks. Do you want to know the big hammer that's in this tax plan? You want to know the real hammer that's in this tax plan? You want to know what really is going to be the story, I think? This tax plan pretty much guts Obamacare. It ends the mandates and it ends the penalties for those that don't buy into the Obamacare marketplace. So you know what that means? See ya, Obamacare. Bye. Goodbye. So without repealing it, Trump makes a smart move and just guts it via the new tax plan. So that's why I'd be shocked if it passed the Senate. Because you still got the likes of the Nancy Pelosi. Guys, it was honestly painful to watch Nancy Pelosi on the floor today. She has a sign out there. She's now bringing signs with hashtags on them. She looks like a high school debate class hero who brings these signs with these hashtags. And then, I mean, folks, she is gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, gone. Nothing left upstairs. And Nancy Pelosi, it's really getting tough to watch, but she keeps getting in the ring, so we will keep reporting on it. You know, I found this story interesting, too. This came from Time. Meet the man running a $100 million campaign to save the Republican majority. You know, I brought this to Roger's attention yesterday, and he was like, yeah, no big story here. And I'm the same way. What is Time? What is this story? Meet the man running a $100 million campaign to save the Republican majority. The Republicans already have the majority. The Republicans just won the White House. I don't understand. Liberals have this weird way of reporting news with their like bias built in. See, they are already of the mindset that Trump's impeached. They're already of the mindset that they've won back the Congress, the 116th Congress in the midterms. And so they put out a story that they're trying to save the Republican majority here. It's like the Republicans are doing just fine. The Democrats are the ones that are broke. The Democrats are the ones that have all these scandals opening up. They can't even get their head right on Al Franken. He needs to resign. Okay, I'll resign, but maybe I won't resign. Well, now he shouldn't resign, but should he have resigned? But now he has to resign. Roy Moore was bad. How the Republicans need saving? I mean, give me a break. The Republicans will save themselves if they just go along with the Trump agenda. You want to save the Republican Party? Get the rhinos out of there like Mitch McConnell. A little Christmas cheer for you here on the InfoWars Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. Merry Christmas to you and all of your family out there as you celebrate with us as we get closer to Christmas Eve. I'm celebrating here. I've got my Nutcracker tie on. How festive for that song to be playing. All right. We're going to kind of move back into the Trump Russia collusion thing here, where essentially everybody in charge of building the case, the fake case against Trump, so basically manufacturing a fake case against Trump, colluding with each other inside the DOJ, the Obama administration, Fusion GPS. And then you had Bruce Orr. So Bruce Orr, in case you're not familiar, was a DOJ official inside the Obama administration. And it turned out that old Brucey boy was meeting with Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS and with Christopher Steele, the man who supposedly forged the Trump dossier, and then that dossier ended up being floated around and is apparently the reason why the Obama administration ended up spying on him. Now you can see the collusion there. And Orr also visited Obama in the White House some number of 30 times. Bruce Orr's wife, Nellie, also worked for Fusion GPS and was communicating with someone on a ham radio. Well, old Brucey boy was set to testify before a senatorial judiciary committee, but, well, Bruce didn't show up. Here's a Republican, Doug Collins from Georgia, talking about the lack of show of Bruce Orr at the testimony.
Next to this story, Bruce Orr, the Obama Justice Department official, demoted over his undisclosed meeting with Fusion GPS. That's the firm behind the anti-Trump dossier. They were doing opposition research on Trump.
Undisclosed meeting.
He was expected to testify today before
the
Senate
Obama DOJ
committee,
official with Fusion GPS.
Republican congressman from Georgia and member of the House Judiciary Committee. He
seems
is Doug Collins. Sir, it's great to have you on. We love having you on. Why didn't he testify? I mean, his wife worked at that opposition research firm. The FBI paid that firm thousands of money. The DNC was behind it. Well, there's a lot of questions about a DOJ official doing this. I mean, why didn't he show up?
Well, maybe you just outlined why he didn't show up. His wife.
Oh, because he's guilty, huh? GPS. Okay.
He had meetings with him, didn't disclose those meetings. I mean, it's becoming an ongoing
cycle. Let's just pause it real quick. When I'm saying guilty, what I mean is he obviously was meeting with Fusion GPS, coordinating with his wife, the Obama administration, and the entire fake Trump-Russian dossier story to bring Trump down. Now let's go back to Doug Collins.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to come and didn't feel like he could answer it. All it does is continue to see what the American people says is something's not right here. We're not getting the full story. President Trump and the whole investigation, this is something that we need to take a look at. And Mr. Orr not coming, they need to be straightforward. It restores the faith in the Justice Department. And right now we just don't
see it. Now pause it right here. A no-show. Just a no-show. I mean, how is this not a bigger story? A total no-show. He no-shows. Can you imagine if Trump Jr. no-showed at one of his testimonies? What if Roger Stone, who's going to be joining us in the second hour, just no-showed when he was supposed to give testimony to some of these people in what he's dealing with litigation? What if he no-showed? Oh, it'd be the biggest story. Oh, Trump's main man, Roger Stone, no-shows meeting. Clearly he's hiding something. Well, what's Bruce Orr hiding? Let's go back to Doug Collins.
The FBI, the taxpayer funds the DOJ. We, the taxpayer, have a right for transparency to hear what is going on here. I mean, you cannot have the federal police force steering an election or trying to throw it either way, or Justice Department officials doing that. You had a hearing.
Or trying to remove a duly elected president. That's what they're trying to do.
With what he said?
No, I was actually frustrated with what he said because he made it very clear that he was over and it was him providing oversight to the Mueller investigation because he appointed him. And I asked him at one point, I said, since you appointed him, and I believe Robert Mueller is, you know, was a good man, I think that the direction of this investigation has went off track because the people that he put on the team.
Oh, so I said, well, hold on. Actually, hold on. I just got to correct Doug Collins here for a second. No, Doug, And I don't know if Doug's just doing lip service here because he's on Fox News. But trust me, Jim Jordan in that same committee in the House is well aware that the entire plan from the very get-go with this Trump-Russia collusion was to create a narrative in order to get Trump impeached, or to create a narrative that makes Trump an illegitimate president. And then they force feed that with all their propaganda outlets. And then the average brainwashed liberal has no clue the difference between fact and fiction. And so they sit here and they obsess over Trump Russia, which is literally made up, fabricated by the opposition in the deep state. Now, I want to switch to another clip. Let's now go to Alan Dershowitz, who's usually known as a liberal lawyer, again, talking about how this whole Mueller thing is spinning back into, well, what Trump might actually want to happen.
Here and good morning to you. I got a good few morning. Specific questions for you. Emails in a moment. Trump says he won't fire Mueller. He said that last night. Did you even see that as a possibility? Let's start there.
It's a legal possibility.
Oh, I love this, too. Just pause it real quick. I love this, too. Trump tweets out, I'm not going to fire Mueller. And then what does the liberal media say the next day? Trump plans on firing Mueller. I mean, it's like clockwork with these people. Continue the clip.
In his authority, it would be foolish to do. He has Mueller in a good position now. A lot of the American public think he's biased against Trump, and that may lead him, because he cares so much about his reputation, to lean over backwards in favor of Trump. So if I were Trump, I wouldn't try to fire him. I would continue to keep the pressure on and raise issues about the emails, etc. Now, Mueller's playing into his hands. Mueller was really foolish in not seeking warrants for those emails. It's a close question.
Oh.
But why not seek the warrant? Getting warrants is like getting candy at Christmas. It's very easy to get.
Oh.
And not getting the warrant gives the defense an opportunity
not
to challenge
getting
it.
Getting a warrant.
Well, okay, there's an interesting answer on that.
Interesting.
Let me circle back on that, but just answer this broad question. Do you think Mueller has a credibility problem, or is that just
so,
an opinion?
All right, so let's bring that down. So not getting a warrant. Oh, wait a second. Here, let's see these headlines. Trump transition lawyer, Mueller improperly obtained documents in Russian probe. Oh, didn't get that warrant, did he? Legal analysis. Why Mueller's seizure of transition emails likely violated the law. Oh, Mueller investigative team breaking the law. Tyler Nixon is going to be joining me later to really get into the nitty gritty with this in the third hour. Folks, before we go to break, though, and we'll be back with Brandon Tatum, this is the last day to guarantee delivery of our products before Christmas. If you're ordering Christmas gifts at InfoWarsStore.com, today is the day to get them delivered before Christmas. And part of our 34-hour broadcast here, bringing back Christmas, the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza, all kinds of specials. Listen to all these products that are 50% off. Super Male Vitality, Brain Force Plus, Alpha Power, Cell Force, Survival Shield X2, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, The Real Red Pill, Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste and Mouthwash, Secret 12 Vitamin B12, all InfoWars Life Select storable food products, and free shipping store wide. Free shipping store wide. Order today. Get your gifts by Christmas.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Brandon Tatum is my guest. You can find him on Twitter at The Officer Tatum. He also has a YouTube channel, BT Cruiser 34. That's where you can find all of his content. Former police officer, regular here on the War Room. And actually, you know, I didn't check on this, but I'm pretty sure, Brandon, you played football at the University of Arizona, correct?
I did.
All right, that's what I thought. So let's start with this story. Now, the NFL, we've been talking about this. I think it's sad what's happened to the NFL. I think it's bad to see that they're going to go ahead and cut their nose off despite their face here. They don't care about the ratings. They're just going to go ahead with their political agenda. But I don't know if you heard about this. Timing of trademarks suggests new XFL may be a response to NFL protests. So, folks, you may have heard of the XFL. It was a alternative football league from years ago. And now Vince McMahon, who knows Donald Trump well and is a billionaire on his own right, apparently just filed for a bunch of new entertainment LLCs. And it's rumored that because the NFL is kind of collapsing right now, that McMahon might be trying to bring the XFL back. But, you know, just as someone that grew up playing football and played in college, I would imagine you were an NFL fan at one time like myself. I mean, what do you make of it? I mean, how do you try to say, well, I'm going to boycott this league because they don't have the same political views, but at the same time, you know that the entire league there's patriots in the league. I mean, look at guys like Pat Tillman. Look at guys like Larry Fitzgerald. There are good guys in this league that you want to support, but they make it tough when other guys are out there kneeling for the anthem.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the NFL will prevail because at some point in time, the BS that they're doing is going to run out. At some point in time, their little message, their little madness, their little hissy fit, they're going to get tired of it. They're going to find a new thing to do. But I do think a lot of people in the NFL, barring some of these players, because I honestly believe that some of these players don't know why they're taking a knee. They're just doing it because the player next to them is doing it. And if you're a rookie on the team, you better do what everybody else is doing. You cannot be an outcast. I think it's going to wash away, man. It's just trendy. After a while, they're going to stop taking a knee. They're going to get back to the basics. And I think people are going to enjoy it more. I would love to see them come up with the XFL again just to give us some more alternatives. But the XFL could potentially never get big enough to completely wipe out the NFL. It's too much money, too much investment. It's too much history behind it. And then the players are just an amazing group of athletes that you just cannot replicate. So I think it's a great idea for them to do that. But I honestly think that this taking a knee thing is trendy and it'll go away hopefully soon.
Yeah, you know, it would probably have to start hitting the players in the pocketbooks, you know, before that they really realize that this is something they might want to stop doing. Because they've said, you know, some of them said, hey, if this means don't come to the game, then don't come to the game. Then it's like, okay, well, then you're not going to get paid as much, obviously. But maybe there's another angle to this, too, where Americans are becoming less obsessed about football, if you will. And they're more concerned about, you know, their families and their personal lives or, you know, what's going on in politics even.
I think this was I think it was wonderful to a certain degree that they took a knee because I really think it helped people reevaluate where their priorities were. Because after a while, you start to realize that, look, I don't have to watch football. I don't need to. It's just for fun, you know? So I really honestly believe that this actually helped people come to grips with reality that they do not need football. And hopefully here moving forward, we'll see people looking at real issues that football presents, like this concussion thing. Literally every game, people are tearing ACLs and breaking legs. So I really do think that that's a huge issue that the NFL needs to address. And I believe that people are going to start paying attention to that. And that should be what the NFL should be focused on instead of worrying about people taking a knee and trying to be activists and social justice warriors.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if the ratings continue to go down. I mean, that's what the NFL thrives on, are those TV ratings. That's where the big money is. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually do respond to those ratings at some point. You know, here's another story I saw, and it made me think of you because you were serving as a police officer. I've never heard of a story like this, and I wanted to hear if you'd ever heard of anything like this. State to keep spying on sick firefighters despite outcry. So the story here is, in New Jersey, the state has decided when a firefighter, I guess, calls in sick or is on medical leave or what have you, they send spies and they literally spy on them and they follow them around to make sure, I guess, they're not playing hooky or whatever. And the city has said, you know, no, we don't want to fund this. This is being paid for by the taxpayer dollars. I mean, I can't even, have you ever heard of that? When you were a police officer, if someone called in sick, did they send a spy to monitor their behavior? I mean, this is unreal to me.
It's such a waste of money, and it's so ridiculous. Look, if you call in sick, you're sick. That's it. You're a grown man. You're a grown woman. You're responsible for your actions.
That's how I
actions.
Feel. Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to think of this. This is sick time that's accrued. So you've earned time that if you get sick or if your children are sick, you could take time off of work. This is stuff that you've accrued. This is not somehow benefiting them. You've worked hard to get this time to take off. So I think it would be a double waste of taxpayer dollars is that you're working to accrue time that belongs to you. And then you have people monitoring you when you're utilizing your time. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. At the end of the day, if you feel like people are not taking it serious or they're taking advantage of the system, then change the principle. Don't go and start spying on people in their personal life, because you can be sick and still be mobile. So what are you going to do if a person is sick, but they want to cut their grass and they're too sick to go to work, but they can cut their grass? What are
you going to do? They have to go pick up their daughter or something.
Right. What are you going to do? You're going to say, well, you're not that sick. You can't determine that. A person can be sick. A person can even have a mental thing where they're taking. That's what sick leave is for. It's not just for illnesses. It's for fitness for work. So if you're not fit, if you're having a bad day or something, you could take that time off. So I think it's absolutely ridiculous for somebody to be spying and wasting money. But this is what they do. They just waste money all the time for no reason.
Exactly. And actually, they found the number, the private investigator that they found out that was falling around the firefighter that had taken a sick day cost the city $17,000. So, but you've never heard of anyone following, someone in your unit that may have called in sick. You've never heard of that before.
Yes. It's unheard of.
Yeah. And it should remain that way. When I saw this, I couldn't even believe that this was a real story. Here's another one how do you make sense of this? Racist trees are now going to be coming down from a golf course. It's in California, but essentially you've got, a golf course in California, and then like any other golf course, they separate the golf course from the next neighborhood or the road or whatever it is with trees. That's very common. It kills sound. It kills sight. It's very nice looking. So they put trees there, but because this neighborhood is black, I guess it's predominantly black people in this neighborhood. The NAACP is taking action here, and they're going to have these racist trees taken down.
It's just the NAACP gets stupider and stupider every time I even hear them mentioned. They used to be, promoting positive things for African Americans moving forward. Now they're just a crap show, man. They're just a big joke. This golf course wants to have trees for decor and make it look nice so you feel like you're on an elegant golf course and you don't want to have to look at the back of somebody's houses and have access to a community. Because I tell you what, when golf balls start flying over, when people start peering into other people's backyards, they're going to have a problem.
Yeah, a golf ball is now going to fly over and hit, a car or something because they took the tree down. Or how about this? Now, instead of having a nice row of trees in your backyard, you're going to have a nice row of stumps.
Yeah. And then they're going to call that racist. Soon as a ball hit somebody's house and there's an epidemic of balls going through windows and stuff in the community, they're going to say, "Oh, it's racist."
They're going to start a new campaign. They're going to say, "Put the trees back." Yeah, oh my gosh, I can already see that coming. They're going to take the trees down. And then they're going to complain because of golf balls and golf carts and noise and the sights of tree stumps. And then they're going to put the trees back up. I think you're actually onto something there. Another segment with Brandon Tatum on the other side. We're going to get into a little bit of this Washington, D.C. intrigue and a little bit of the liberal madness. They're trying to censor people on YouTube. We'll see if Brandon has had to deal with any of that.
So this is Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and your loved ones from everybody here at InfoWars. Thank you for tuning in to the stretch run here of the 34-hour Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. My guest here is Brandon Tatum at The Officer Tatum on Twitter, and you can find him on YouTube as well, BTCruiser34. There's his Twitter account right there. I found this story. This is a kind of an older story. It's been resurfacing. It's kind of gotten different headlines, but basically the story here is it all started because Taylor Swift apparently had a great 2017. So then, of course, they twist that into a straight, white, multimillionaire pop star had a great 2017. And the liberal press just continued to twist it, and it just became 2017 was great for straight, white people. So I just want to do some fact checking here, Brandon. How was 2017 for you? Did you have a good 2017?
Oh, it's probably the best year of my life. So,
all right. Well.
So I guess they got to add black people in there too, man. This is the best year of my life.
Wow. Well, that's amazing that they just how could they just discount you like that? That's so rude. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Racist.
Wow. Racist. Well, that's just what we deal with here. Now, Brandon, he's got a YouTube channel. He puts up good content there. A lot of it goes viral. Have you had to deal with any censorship, Brandon, on your YouTube channel?
Oh, yeah, man. It was pretty bad. I had made videos for about a year, and I started monetizing my videos. All the videos became monetized. So I don't know, like 30 videos were monetized. When I made the more recent viral video about the NFL players taking a knee at the national anthem, YouTube literally demonetized every video for the last year, every single video. I had to go back in and challenge every single video on my page. And I literally, some of the videos that didn't do as well, I just didn't even worry about them because it would have been just too much trying to go back and challenge 30 to 40 videos. And I thought it was very interesting that all of this time, YouTube had no problem with my videos. But then when my page became viral, or it's more viral, then they had a problem and they censored all of my videos. So it's been a huge problem. And I don't even know how to get away with this stuff sometimes.
So now, I'm trying to get this. So you're saying that it was one video that you think sparked the censorship, but for whatever reason, they just decided to censor all of your videos.
Right. I think because my channel became really popular. Like, I think I had 40,000 people follow me at one time from one video. So a lot of my followers came from that one video. And as soon as that video launched, as soon as my followership started growing, they literally demonetized all of my videos. And literally, they were demonetizing some of the videos they never gave back to me.
So you're still in that process then.
Title.
So you're still kind of trying. Are you going to try to get them remonetized, or there's too much of a hassle?
Yeah, some of them I just let go, man. The ones that had less than like 40,000 views or so, I just let them go. And some of the ones that had, you know, 100,000, 600,000. And I even wonder now, man, I have my own show called The Truth that you can see right there. And literally, my show is just 1,000 views a piece. So I don't know if it's marketing on our part or is YouTube still censoring and not making The Truth go viral.
Yeah, my guess, usually what I've seen when it's stuff like that is, you know, you're getting more popular, you're trending, and so you'll start to pop up on like popular videos for people that have similar interests. You know, if people use YouTube, they know that, you know, there's these bars and each one is kind of categorically put out there, and then there'll be trending ones, there'll be hot topics, watch again. And so you probably got launched up to like trending because you had these viral videos, and that's what they probably did, is they probably just took you off of that trending. They probably algorithmed you out of that program just like they did to us, so that people have to go and actually, you know, search you out specifically, and nobody can just find you unless they know who you are. That's probably what they're trying to do to you, just like they're doing to us now.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I literally, I saw videos that I made in the past that had 40, 50, 60, 70, 100,000 views. And then now, literally, the same type of videos, the same type of subject matter, 2,000, 3,000 views, 10,000 at the most. It's crazy to me. I don't understand how to get away with it. Hopefully that enough of us make a fuss about it that they start changing, or at least release the algorithm to make sure that our videos can go viral like everybody else.
You know what? I don't understand this. I was just thinking about this. Usually when people get their videos demonetized, it's either talking about transsexuals or gender biases, or talking about something with radical Islam. But I've never really seen you cover either of those topics really that much. I mean, why did they censor your videos?
There was literally a video that said, "Why I don't feel oppressed like other black people." I think that's a valuable argument. And
are you kidding me? That's what they censored?
They censored it completely. They said no advertisement at all, not even minimal. They said no advertisement. And then the funny thing is that I was looking online. See, I don't know why they censor certain things. I was looking online, looking at music videos, and I saw a Rihanna video. I forget the name of it now that I'm on air, but in the video, I had to turn the thing off because she's dancing and you literally can see her breasts through her shirt. And I'm like, this is inappropriate content. What if a kid was to look at this and literally see a person nude on YouTube? And they don't even demonetize that. That thing is full monetization.
If you would have done a video that said something like, you know, how white people are oppressing black people or something like that, that they would, they probably would have sent that to the top.
Yeah, yes, they would. They would have, for sure. But if you say anything that is reasonable, that's relatively controversial because people don't like it, then they shun your video. But I think this video, white privilege, my, you know what? I feel like that should be a super viral video.
Yeah, that video, to me,
people loved it on Facebook, but on YouTube, for some reason, only have 10,000 views.
Yeah, and then you look at your other videos that go viral, and you know it's stuff where you're just kind of shooting with your cell phone. You're not even really planning on it necessarily going viral. That video, you had the whole setup, and it looks great. So, yeah, they're definitely trying to keep you down on YouTube, no doubt. And, you know, this story came out of Variety this morning. Google Chrome's browser will start blocking ads come February. Variety, Google has been blocking ads for like a year now. They blocked our ads over a year ago to try to stop some of our funding. Maybe they're going to finally start admitting that they're censoring people, but they're going to have some sort of nice spin on it. Like, oh, well, we just don't want to offend anyone.
Yeah, I think it's a ruse, man. You know how they're trying to bring up this Russia thing, how they were saying, you know, Russia bought ads on Facebook. They literally want to push this so they can then control advertisement. So they can say this is the government can say this is the advertisement that's acceptable. This is the advertisement that's not acceptable. They literally want to push it to that point so that they can control us. And then when they feel the need, when there's a Republican candidate that's coming out and we push things or we talk about them, they can be able to decide whether or not that's appropriate advertisement or appropriate content and shun it. That's exactly what I think they're trying to do.
Wow. It sounds like what you just described is fascism. Yes, that's what it's called, fascism. Amazing. The fascists don't point that out. Here's a couple other stories about YouTube censorship. I mean, folks, this is just ridiculous. YouTube temporarily bans Europeans from viewing Cernovich documentary on migrant rape crisis. So you got countries like Sweden where rape has gone up like 6,000% in the last 5 years with the incoming migrants, but you're not allowed to know about that. And then this is the ultimate just hilarity to me. YouTube censored FCC chairman Ajit Pai's net neutrality video. So the same people that are excoriating Ajit Pai for not being open with the internet are censoring Ajit Pai from the internet. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up, Brandon.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. It feels like we're living in the Matrix, man. At when is it going to change? When are we going to actually see them being fair? I really think it's going to come down to us stepping up, making a fuss about it and saying, you know what? The liberals, they know how to go out and protest and make a fuss about things. We need to start making a fuss about some of this stuff so that we can stop getting censored and all kinds of other foolishness that's happening to us. And I'm not saying go out and picket and have signs and block traffic. What I'm saying is that we need to continue to tell our viewership that, look, we're getting censored. We need to talk about it. We need to make a fuss about it so that they can actually change something. And we're not going to be quiet anymore. We're going to start standing up.
Yeah, and if we're going to stand against fascism, let's look at the real fascists, and those are the ones in Silicon Valley that don't want any opinion that hurts their agenda. Specifically, it seems like the biggest one is open borders. But yeah, the genders, 500 genders, you know, someone not fitting into the stereotype box that they want them in politically, they got to censor all that stuff. Brandon Tatum, thanks for joining us today. At the Officer Tatum on Twitter, the YouTube channel, before they completely delete him, BT Cruiser 34. Thanks for joining us, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, when we get back, Roger Stone and Tyler Nixon will be joining us in the second hour, but Sarah Sanders attacking the media again.
I said the joint was rocking, going round and round, reeling and rocking, what a crazy sound. And they never stopped rocking.
We have a Jedi that represents the press secretary, and that is Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Here she is showing the media, giving them the what for their harsh treatment of President Trump.
Good afternoon. As I'm sure you all just saw, the House of Representatives voted for final passage on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. That brings us one step closer to the president making good on his promise to deliver tax cuts for Christmas. We are looking forward to the Senate vote later this evening, and the president will be monitoring these developments throughout the day. As December winds down, I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to look back at what has been, by any measure, a historic year. Nearly 1.7 million new jobs have been created, and the unemployment rate has fallen to 4.1%, the lowest rate in 17 years. The stock market reached a record high more than 60 times and closed above 24,000 for the first time in history. We've rolled back 22 regulations for every one new regulation, saving taxpayers over $8 billion and liberating America's economy from the grip of bloated government. We've withdrawn from or began renegotiating the trade deals that once threatened to destroy American industry and shipped our jobs around the world. We finally set up our nation on a path to not only energy independence, but energy dominance. We approved the Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines, directed the EPA to end the job-killing war on coal, and upon the tax bill's passage, we'll have opened up ANWR to responsible energy exploration. The president has protected America's communities. We've seen the lowest level of illegal border crossings on record. We ended the Obama administration's dangerous catch-and-release policies, restoring law and order both on the border and in the interior. And we've designed and built 8 wall prototypes for the border wall. We've taken unprecedented steps to tackle America's opioids epidemic by directing the declaration of a nationwide public health emergency, and we've promoted peace through strength. Under the president's leadership, ISIS has lost nearly all of its territory and its most important strongholds in Iraq and Syria. We've restored old alliances, forged new ones, begun rebuilding our military, and made it clear to the world that there is no greater ally, no more fearsome adversary than the United States of America. We've reshaped the American judiciary for generations. Justice Gorsuch was confirmed to the Supreme Court, and 22 judges have been confirmed, including a record-setting 12 circuit judges. We protected life by reinstating and expanding the Mexico City policy that protects $9 billion in U.S. taxpayer dollars from being used to fund abortion. And this evening, hopefully upon passage of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the president will have delivered the most significant tax cut in the history of the nation and repealed the Obamacare individual mandate. The president has delivered on promise after promise, issue after issue, time after time, and we're just getting started. As some of you may have seen yesterday, Disney World debuted its animatronic President Trump for its famed Hall of Presidents. In the president's remarks for the exhibit, which he recorded here at the White House earlier this year, he said, "From the beginning, America has been a nation defined by its people. It's why our founders began our great Constitution with 3 very simple words, we the people." In the coming days, political analysts will write and the talking heads will discuss what this year means, what it means for the president, what it means for the Republican and Democrat parties, and for the never-ending political theater in Washington, D.C. But I would encourage everyone to take a step outside of the Beltway bubble and consider what this year means for the American people. To the forgotten men and women around our country, you are forgotten no more. This president is with you 100%, and as this year has already proven, he will never let you down. And with that,
wow.
I will take your question.
There is the alleged Russian agent Trump just making the American economy boom, making the stock market boom, returning our sovereignty, strengthening our borders, strengthening our military, making its people rich again. Ah, he's so bad. Oh, my gosh, Trump, we need to do something about him. Oh, my gosh. And if he gets these tax cuts, which may not be perfect, but will be part of his agenda, just imagine the top hat on his year of accomplishments with that tax cut. Wow, it's unbelievable.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Well, folks, it is the final stretch run of the InfoWars Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. I'm looking for Roger and Tyler. And Alex Jones has absconded with my co-host, Roger Stone, and they are currently shooting guns at the firing range. I'm not jealous at all. So we call an audible and we open up the phone lines, 888-201-201. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. What do you think about what we've covered? I've got more news coming up. I've got this stack of news. I mean, just the whole Me Too thing, Weinstein Gate and everything. Liberal madness continues to infect those anti-Trumpers. I've got a stack of news on radical Islam, which, boy, it gets tougher and tougher to. I understand. I honestly get it. I understand some of the liberal sentiment where you don't want to offend anybody. I get it, okay? You don't want to offend the billions of Muslims out there and say that all Muslims are bad or rad. Okay, part of me gets it, but you just have to question if they have a survival instinct left when you read these stories about what radical Islamic jihadis are doing to people and what open borders combined with the influx of people coming in from these war-torn countries in the Middle East and what those are doing to previously sovereign nations. So we've got all of that. Your calls, we will take them. In fact, I'll maybe knock out a few this segment. And we'll get back into the news later. But first, right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have massive sales going on. Now, this is obviously part of the 34-hour live broadcast Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. So I'm not sure how much longer these sales are going to last, folks. So if you've been thinking about pulling the trigger on some of these sales that we have and some of these great products, now is the time, because I'm not sure how much longer these sales have. I'm not sure how much longer we will be offering free shipping store-wide. And today is the last day to get guaranteed delivery before Christmas. So if you are planning on getting some Christmas shopping done at InfoWarsStore.com, today is the last day to get guaranteed delivery before Christmas. And again, I think it's safe to assume that all of these deals are not going to be around much longer upon the conclusion of our 34-hour Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. But some of those specials do include 50% off. That's right, I said half off the following products: Super Male Vitality, Brain Force Plus, Alpha Power, Cell Force, Survival Shield X2, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, The Real Red Pill, Super Blue, Fluoride-Free Toothpaste and Mouthwash, Secret 12 Vitamin B12, and the entire line of InfoWars Life Select Storable Food Products, 50% off, plus the free shipping. You're talking about hundreds, if not thousands of dollars of savings with that deal right now. So hurry up and get to InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of all these great sales. And please support us, because you know they're trying to censor us. We took that big hit from the Google ad share that we no longer are allowed to be on. So they're trying to shut us up. They try to censor us on all these platforms. But you are the power that keeps InfoWars growing. So with that, why don't I just go to a couple of our InfoWarriors right now? Let's start off with Brian, who is calling in from Indiana. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I've been trying to get through the last few days, but, you know, with all the corruption that we have with top law dogs and the corruption with the electoral process that we're having, and, you know, not being able to get a fair trial in this country, and all the stuff at the Antifa and everything, you know, what they're doing to us. How much longer do you think it's going to be before the top blows off the keg?
You know, it's interesting.
Make a call on that.
Well, here's my thought on that. I've actually kind of had the same type of thoughts in my head, phrased a little differently, where I'm looking at all of this stuff, the terror attacks in New York, the wildfires in California, the train derailment in Washington. You know, those are just some events that just happened over the course of the last month that were big news stories that then quickly just fall to the background real quick. I mean, the Las Vegas massacre was only not even 3 months ago. We still don't even know what happened with the hundreds of people that got shot at that. And you got the Trump-Russia thing. So my thought is, though, when will people realize the dire straits this country is in? I don't know if that's exactly what you're saying or how you're kind of phrasing the question, but my thought is like, when are people going to look around and be like, okay, the roads are busted. The roads are a joke. The train systems are all a joke. We don't even know what's going on with this Trump-Russia thing. It's totally biased. I mean, it's just all terrorist attacks every month now. They just had another terrorist attack that was being plotted that they were able to thwart. So, like, look at what's going on in California. A murderer walks without even getting a manslaughter charge. So my thing is, like, exactly. I don't necessarily look at it as when does the top blow off of it. My question is, when do people just look around and just, like, you know, scratch their head like, what the hell is going on here?
Well, that's my thought. But, you know, what I'm concerned about is things going back the way they was. It really bothers me. But, you know, it's like what's happening with the Bundys and, you know, like what you just said, the Steinle murder and all this stuff. And we can't get a fair election, it doesn't seem like, and it's going to get even worse. So, you know, our vote's not going to count anymore. And you can't get an unbiased trial with the judges and all that. I'm really surprised that Roger got a win with that deal in New York. And I'm really glad he did. But, you know, even you guys keep saying that, you know, that you feel that Trump's going to be taken out. So I'm just wondering.
Well, there's the moment. I mean, that's the answer to your question right there. You just answered your own question. That's it. If they do take Trump out, that will be when the roof blows off the place. And, you know, God only help us with whatever comes after that. Thank you so much for the call, Brian. Let's hope it doesn't get to that point. Let's go to Christian in Texas. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, what's going on, Owen?
Just doing a show here. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, man. I just wanted to call in, kind of touch on a few things. First off, thanks for everything you guys do, especially you, man, sticking it to them up there in Texas State. Yeah, all that was unnecessary with all the stuff they put out.
Well, hey, it's, you know, this is not a one-off here. The University of Michigan is now training people on how to overcome the discomfort of being white. So they make you feel uncomfortable for being white because you're a bigot and a racist and everything in between because you're white. But then because they've, you know, put you into this bubble, now they have to teach you how to deal with the discomfort that they've given you. So, yeah, Texas State was one example with the racist article against white people. But it's nationwide, sir.
Yeah, it needs to be heard, though, and needs to be protested when that sort of thing comes out. But, yeah, man, what I really wanted to touch on was with the live streams and everything. Every time I try to get on YouTube to get on y'all's live streams, it's just getting tougher day by day to try and find when y'all are live. So
now what are you saying exactly? I need a little more detail. You're saying they're not showing up, or is there, like, a message you're getting? I don't understand.
No, I'm subscribed to you guys, the War Room, the Newsroom, and also the Alex Jones channel. And sometimes it's just tough. You go straight to it. Then you got to click on one video. Then you got to scroll down the related videos, and then I'll be like, oh, wow, they're live. So it just shows that they're trying to bury it. They don't want anyone.
Yeah, there's definitely some funky stuff going on there. I think that everyone's kind of had a different experience with that, with making it tougher to find us. I mean, they admit that that's what they're doing. They have congressional hearings about it. The guys from YouTube say that they want to bury us. So you're definitely onto something. But the key is, look, you know when we're live. You know Infowars.com/show, so you can always find us there. We'll be right back on the other side. Christmas to you and your loved ones from everyone here at InfoWars. We hope that you are enjoying the holiday season as we are wrapping up our 34-hour Christmas spectacular extravaganza. I'm going to get into a stack of Me Too Weinsteingate news now, and we may actually also take a call at the end of the segment because the caller wants to talk about one of the topics here, but let's just delve right in. Mika Brzezinski today, I think it was today. It may have been yesterday. I think it was today, though. Mika Brzezinski warns Me Too warriors, I know men who won't hire women now. Right now, any woman can say anything and a man's career is ruined, says Mika Brzezinski on the set of Morning Joe. And she then goes on to say, I know men who won't hire women now because of it. There's so many different ripples and angles to this. I'm trying to decide which one to go down here. Like, for example, because she actually makes a fair, valid point here, but there's a ripple here because the women, it's like this. Look at the other side of this. Look at the other angle of the Weinstein gate and you're guilty as soon as you get accused and the whole Me Too thing of accusing all these men. Men are the bad guy. If a man looks at you wrong, if a man asks for your phone number, if a man whistles at you. So you've got the aspect that Mika points out here saying now men are afraid to hire women. Obviously, there's a backlash you could see fair. That's pretty much makes sense. If a woman comes in and, you know, maybe you think that that's a bad environment with the men around or you're afraid that she might ruin your career or someone else because of all this accusal stuff that's going on, which leads to guilt immediately without a judge, without a jury, without anything, without proof even. But think about the other side of this because it's this because there's a kind of an angle that ties in here. So she's saying men won't hire women now because of the Me Too movement. I think that's accurate. But you also have a situation where men won't approach women now. So you see what this does to the fabric of our very humanity of men and women coming together and men approaching women, men trying to court women, men trying to date women, whatever it is, compliment women. Now there's such a turnoff of that. That's so taboo. And you never know how it could be taken or how it could be twisted or misunderstood. And then you wind up at the wrong end of an accusation that immediately means guilt. But here's the catch. Here's the catch. They don't care if they destroy relationships between men and women. They don't care if they ruin it for any woman out there that actually wants a man to date her or wants to find a man that's masculine and wants to, you know, be a husband or whatever. They don't care because they're not interested in men. They're not interested in a relationship. They're not interested in starting a family. So yeah, let's scorch the earth for the majority of people out there that can have a female and a male have a conversation. Maybe there's flirting. Maybe a phone number is exchanged. And guess what? They go about their day without feeling violated. That's how most people operate. But these bat crap crazy liberals, these feminazis, are now scorching the earth for women to be hired. And they're scorching the earth for women that enjoy men talking to them, flirting with them, complimenting them, opening the door for them, whatever you want to say. They don't care because A, they probably aren't really looking for a big job. And B, they don't want to be with a man. They hate men. So yes, the feminazis and everyone, and again, I'm not saying that everyone in the Me Too movement is bad or is making things up. But the point is, the leaders of this, the ones pushing it, don't care about the scorched earth they're leaving behind for women. So here's what's going to happen at the end of this Weinstein Gate Me Too thing. They're going to scorch the earth for women getting hired in the workplace where men are either in control or more men than women. They're going to scorch the earth for real victims of sexual assault that want to come forward because now people are going to realize that most of these people coming forward is just a political stunt and it's total BS. So they're going to scorch the earth for real victims of sexual assault. And then on the third string, they're going to scorch the earth for anyone out there that actually likes having normal relations between men and women, which includes flirting, maybe a hug, maybe an exchange of a phone number, maybe even a whistle. Oh, no. So they're going to go ahead and scorch all of that earth, burn all of that down behind them. And with their anger and their rage and their hate, they're going to spit on the ground that they leave behind. So that's just what you can expect from that. But that's the big story, not this story, which is one of dozens of stories that you've seen this year. Selling girls, sex traffickers are targeting American children. Sex trafficking is a $1 billion-a-year industry in the U.S., and our traffickers are preying on young girls across the nation, our daughters, sisters, and friends, right in our backyards. This was a report that came from KHOU and WXIA. This is a very, very long report. They did a very thorough job on this. But why isn't this the big hashtag? Why is there no Save Our Children hashtag? Why is there no Our Children Too hashtag? Why is there no pedogate hashtag that goes viral, that gets promoted by Hollywood, that gets promoted by all of these liberals that have the loudest mouths? Nothing on that. Nope. Everything on Ashley Judd, who declares herself a nasty woman. Nothing on the pedophiles and the child sex traffickers, which, by the way, I'm going to just go ahead and go to this now. Because I'm sorry, but Ashley Judd comes right to the top of my mind when I see this story. Women are partly to blame for showbiz sex scandal, says Sir Ian McKellen. Star claims some actresses tell directors they will sleep with them to win roles. No. It can't be. Shocking. I couldn't believe it. No way. Females in Hollywood would use their sexuality to enhance their careers? Oh, no. I'll never. Ashley Judd would never do that. She's just a nasty woman. She would never. Not Ashley Judd. Oh, wait. It's well known that women use sex to enhance their careers in Hollywood. Now, again, not taking away from whatever bullying and brutish behavior that Harvey Weinstein may have engaged in here. But again, let's at least look at the entire aisle. Let's look at both sides of the aisle and let's not fall for a political stunt, a political agenda that is aimed at nothing more than falling back on Trump and destroying society and relationships between men and women. So what do you think about that? Ian McKellen says that women are partly to blame for the Hollywood sex scandals. They're basically offering their bodies up for roles.
Is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
All right, this is just absolutely insane. You've got, let me just give you a gestalt here. You've got Michael Ian Black, an actor, saying on Twitter that he used to molest kids. His words, not mine. That's what he said on his Twitter. We used to molest kids. That's his own tweet. You've got Craig Sawyer, who gets censored on Twitter just for putting out the logo of an eagle, which is the logo for his defense of innocent children. And Twitter considers that sensitive. You've got Patrick Leahy, Democrat out of Vermont, saying, well, we shouldn't have told Al Franken to resign. Okay. And then you've got TJ Miller, an actor from the Emoji movie and the TV show Silicon Valley. Well, he was one of those guys, just like Michael Ian Black, mind you, all anti-Trump, tweeting about how bad Trump is all day. They're going to do everything to stop Trump. Oh. Silicon Valley star TJ Miller accused of sexually assaulting and punching a woman. The woman says she was fully paralyzed. Oh, ooh, ouch. There's another anti-Trumper out of Hollywood that gets exposed as a total fraud and a womanizer and a woman beater. But that Access Hollywood tape, though. Oh, but that tape. So TJ Miller, another one that falls. What was the name? There was another actor. Oh, yeah, Seth Rogen. I mean, these guys are such ass clowns. I mean, you know, again, first of all, if you're gonna comment on politics, you should at least, you know something about politics. Seth Rogen is the perfect example of someone that doesn't do that. But then if you're going to attack, you know, President Trump and say all of these things about him and women, you know, TJ Miller, maybe you should not be punching and sexually assaulting women. So personally, I never found TJ Miller funny in anything. I always thought he was one of the suckiest actors I've ever seen in my life. And now I think I know how he got his roles. Must be in some sort of club, if you know what I mean. You've got this story, which was actually, I believe, published yesterday. Yes. Oh, man. I think this was in the Hollywood Reporter. Guys, would you actually make sure? I want to make sure we link to the right story here. Murder, mayhem, and torture off the Sunset Strip. The tragic story of the budding director and his dead girlfriend. Guys, I think this was in the Hollywood Reporter. But, yeah, thank you. There is an insert from this story. This director was draining blood from his girlfriend. Okay? Now, we've told you about the spirit cookings. Spirit cookings were exposed in the WikiLeaks emails with Marina Abramovic and Tony Podesta. And it goes on and on from there about who's involved with these spirit cookings. Yeah, that's what they do in Hollywood. And then you find this story in the Hollywood Reporter of a director draining blood from his girlfriend, folks. These are satanic people. We're not just saying that. They literally worship Satan in spirit cooking festivals. And let me tell you something. When you get involved in stuff like this, there's something that happens to you psychologically. When you witness such traumatizing events that could end up being used as blackmail against you, let's say, you know, abuse of a child or anything that goes on at some spirit cooking dinner. Then when you're TJ Miller and you're with a woman, you know, beating and sexually assaulting a woman is nothing. You know what I'm saying? You've already seen, you know what goes on. You've already seen that. So what, some woman? Yeah, what? So I knocked her out. What's the big deal, bro? I'm TJ Miller, man. I'm TJ Miller, bro. I was in Silicon Valley, bro. I'm going to stop Trump. Yeah, TJ, what about that woman that you beat up and she said she was paralyzed and then you sexually assaulted her? TJ Miller, bro. Huh? I'm a good liberal, bro. Come on, man. Cop being investigated for sex with a minor fatally shoots himself after being chased by police. Now, this is the second suicide story we've heard like this. One was I don't remember what position he held, but he was accused of, I think it was sexually assault with some woman. He shot himself. Now you've got this cop that was apparently being investigated for sex with a minor. He shoots himself. So is this another example of what we saw with that adult film star August Ames with leftist bullying, forcing people to kill themselves? Or were these people really involved with some sick stuff, and so they killed themselves because they didn't want the truth to come out or they didn't want to have to face justice? I don't know. Just trying to figure it all out. Then you've got this story, and we'll take a call after this because a caller wanted to talk about this. Linda Sarsour accused of enabling sexual assault against a woman who worked for her. And, you know, it's not what you would actually, anything you would actually be surprised of if you associate Linda Sarsour with the religion of Islam. I mean, you know, sexual assault against a woman in Sharia law is almost, I mean, is that even a thing, actually? Can you even sexually assault a woman under Sharia law? That's actually a good question. I'm not sure if you can. I don't think you can. The crew's shaking their head. I don't think they can. So of course, Linda Sarsour enabled sexual assault against a woman who worked for you. Well, yeah, it's Sharia law. I mean, Linda Sarsour stands up for Sharia law, which allows sexual assault of women. So yeah, Linda Sarsour is actually wanting to enable sexual assault for everyone. So that's the irony here. Linda Sarsour wants to enable sexual assault for everyone because that's what Sharia law will do.
It's not sexual assault unless they have four male witnesses. So Linda Sarsour is innocent.
And I don't know. I don't know. This is a weird one to me. Linda Sarsour. Let's take the caller. Let's go to Chris, who's calling in from Austin, Texas here. Chris, Linda Sarsour enables sexual assault. Well, yeah, she likes Sharia law.
Yeah, exactly. The guy, I don't think he worked at her office. He lived in her office in Brooklyn, and he is repeatedly sexually assaulting a woman that works.
Yeah, he's just a good practitioner of Sharia law.
Yeah, you know, he's always at the mosque.
What's the big deal?
He's a God-fearing man. He's always at the mosque.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how could he?
I don't understand. He's so confused. This is like the migrants that come in and they rape, you know, little boys in the bathroom, and then they just get right back in the pool afterwards and swim around like nothing happened. Or in Sweden, where they're just raping women left and right, all of these migrants come in and just rape all the women. I mean, the rape stats are through the roof. That's just good Sharia law, baby. That's just good radical Islam living.
And we've got Sarsour, the organizer of the Women's March, who is...
Oh, yeah. And don't forget about Michael Moore, too, who was another participant in the Women's March. You know who Michael Moore endorsed thoroughly and multiple times and said was a good man and stood by his side multiple times? Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, Weinstein. Yeah, so I'd just like to say that it's not hypocritical, it's deceptive and it's malicious. It's a shame.
I don't see the big deal. I mean, I don't know why you don't just be more tolerant of Sharia law, and we should be tolerant of Linda Sarsour allowing her workers to just sexually violate women. I think it's great. Is an absolute piece of garbage. Welcome back to the War Room Show. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Let me just delve into this stack of news here dealing with radical Islamic violence. Actually, we start off with this story that's less about that and more just kind of about the geopolitical climate right now. You had the Palestinian missile blow up over the Iron Dome in Israel. Now you've got a ballistic missile intercepted over Saudi Arabia, the capital Riyadh, just seconds before it slammed into a royal palace. Wow. Now it came from Yemen, and it's funny, we had a guest on the Alex Jones Show about a month ago that said this exact thing was about to go down. So again, another example of InfoWars, tomorrow's news today, next month's news today, specifically with this story dealing with Yemen and Saudi Arabia. A missile gets blown up just seconds before it slams into a royal palace. But now more on the radical Islamic side of things here, dealing with terror attacks. I mean, it's just so loving. Sex robot expo and venue switched after terror threat from offended Islamic extremists. You know, we do live in a sexualized culture full of, I don't know how to explain it, immoral, Sodom and Gomorrah-esque. I mean, you know, I'm not really telling you anything secret here. You know, you tune into Hollywood and television, you pretty much are going to get sex and violence. It's what fuels us as far as entertainment is concerned for the most part. So this is what people need to understand, though. When you bring in these radical Islamists into the country, they get fully triggered. When they see a beautiful woman walking around the street with her cleavage out, they get triggered. When they turn on a television and they see nothing but explosions and war, violence movies, they get triggered. When they turn on the television and they see an advertisement for a bra or something with a supermodel, they get triggered. So again, you shouldn't be surprised that a bunch of Islamic extremists would want to threaten a sex robot expo with a terror attack. Of course they would. That's why they threaten our country. That's why they threaten anything that's Western culture. They hate it. It triggers them. They cannot stand it. They do not assimilate. What don't people get? ISIS claims it has hacked the U.S. Army and State Department and is sending assassins to employees' homes in gruesome new propaganda video, which declares Muslims will return to being masters of the world. Now, look. I said earlier on in the show, I understand part of the liberal mindset, part of the liberal heart that doesn't want to attack Muslims and come after the religion of Islam. But I mean, there's a difference between wanting to be nice, if you will, and not wanting to be offensive and just burying your head in the sand. No matter how much you want to portray yourself as open to Muslims and people of the Islamic faith, there's still going to be people in the Islamic faith that want to blow your head off. Get it? So it's just like the caller earlier. It's like, when does the lid get blown off this? Well, let's see. When does the lid get blown off people not understanding the deal with radical Islamic terror? Maybe after a gay nightclub gets shot up and about 40 people dead. Oh, no, that already happened. Maybe after someone tries to pipe bomb a New York City subway. Oh, wait, no, that happened too. Yeah, okay. Maybe after a truck mounts a curb and runs over and kills a bunch of people. Oh, wait, that's happened in multiple countries. Well, maybe if all of the events that I just mentioned were all part of the same group of people as far as their religious affiliation, then maybe we would have something. Oh, wait, it is. Oh, yeah, but maybe if there was some big attack, maybe if there was some huge big attack that was clearly an attack on everyone, and like I don't know, like planes going into buildings, you know, like 3,000 people dead or something. Maybe if after an event like that, wait, that did happen too. And as far as I'm concerned, the official narrative that it was a radical Islamic terror event has not been changed. So I'm just trying to understand the mindset of people that don't want to deal with this. I mean, it's not offensive to call a spade, but of course to a liberal it is. Facts are offensive to liberals.
Yeah.
You've got the new leader of Austria says that the new government is going to resist Islamization. So is that really so bad? You know, Islamic, radical Islam nations, they want to resist Christianity. See, but that's, I mean, the double standard of these people is just, it's unpalatable. I just don't get it. I really just don't get it. How many times do you have to see radical Islamic terror attacks before you realize that there's something going on here? Again, how often does somebody have a crucifix and then runs into a building or a concert? Jesus Christ is God. Boom. No, no. How many times does a man, a Jewish man or woman wearing a yarmulke, go in and recite something from the Old Testament and then blow a bunch of people up? No, no. Not happening, is it? So, again, where is the disconnect from these people? I just really don't get it. I just don't understand the individual that refuses to live in reality. All right, let's go to John in Minnesota. All right, John, you're on the air. Go ahead. Nope, wait. Nope, it's all right. We got Sonny. We'll take Sonny first. All right, Sonny's on the air. Nope, Sonny's gone. All right, now, okay. Well, that's just an absolute disaster, whatever just happened on that phone line. So, okay, puts me in quite a spot then. Boy, now I feel like Nancy Pelosi up here, just a fumbling moron. Hey, this was a funny story. So, you know, Nancy Pelosi is always going to these Trump protests and everything, you know, cackling at the audience. So she tried to do a protest on the tax cuts, but then bailed because no one showed up. So that's too bad. I guess I'm sorry, Nancy. I guess you're not as cool as you thought you were. Pelosi bails on tax cut protest after only a handful of activists show up. Aw. You know, Nancy, you really ought to just, you know, step aside and get some help before you go completely insane and you can't come back. Because you are on the precipice, Nancy Pelosi. And everyone can see it. And I'm telling you, folks, I mean, you know, you've heard me up on air ranting and raving about Nancy Pelosi. But I'm telling you, watching her on the Hill today was actually really, really painful to see someone struggling that much just with life and just thinking and speaking. I mean, she literally, it's not good. All right. Hey, let's give Sonny another chance. Sonny's called back in. Sorry about that, Sonny. You got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, Trey Gowdy seems to be like a shark smelling blood in the water with the FBI situation. How come they haven't been able to charge anybody or you know, expose any of the crimes that are going on in a manner that's going to actually amount to something?
Well, I mean, no one's been charged yet, but they've definitely, you know, brought attention to it. It's not like it's being ignored. I mean, you've got Trey Gowdy, obviously. You've got Jim Jordan. You've got Matt Gaetz. You've got Chuck Grassley. I mean, there is a Justice League here of Republicans that are actually pushing back against this fake Russian probe.
And I had another question. Why is it that these women can come forward with these sexual allegations and even with no proof or anything, and they aren't charged?
Because it's a political stunt. This isn't about women. This is about a political stunt to try to remove Trump from office.
The silent majority is no longer silent. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We've got some callers on the line here. Let's go to my friend Dennis, calling in from Chicago. What's up today, Dennis?
Hey, how's it going, Owen?
It's going all right today. What's on your mind?
Well, we've got a couple things. I want you to be on the lookout for the new DNC, which is going to be Oprah Winfrey and the Obama.
You think so?
I know so, for a fact. That's the way it's going. That's the way it's going. What you're seeing right now is the last cutoff line of the Clinton money that has sporadically shed throughout America. See, what is going on now is they're trying to do a rebuilding phase under the term of Trump while still trying to pull him down. The second thing about this, too, is that Matt Dubai was right. They are here. They have been here for the last Well, I already told you, Department of Homeland Security has been here for 6 years.
Yeah, you actually called into the show and reported on that a while ago.
Yeah. They've been here for 6 years. All they've been doing is canvassing the land. They need to know in and outs of every gangway, how every street runs, how every alley runs. This is a full-fledged police assault.
No, but I want to stay on this track with you for a second, because I've been having this conversation with other people, and we already know that the UN, well, at least had a strong presence of a fleet of all types of vehicles in Maryland. And then we hear about what's going on in Chicago. You look at what goes on in Baltimore and what goes on in Chicago. I mean, what do you think the agenda here is? I mean, I just look at things and I just kind of look at the playing field. You think it's disarmament? Now that, okay, so let's stay with that for a second. Because
when I say disarmament, what I'm saying is your total strip of your constitution.
But I think that what their plan is, because I think that you're onto something here, but I think they're clearly planning on doing this in Baltimore and Chicago. I think that that's why they have the UN set up with the strong presence of vehicles in those two vicinities, because of all the violence that's been going on in Chicago and Baltimore. So they think that they can justify it.
Mind you, look at all the abandoned houses they can set up in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
This goes a lot deeper than what a lot of people want to look it to be. It's really deeper than that. They have found a way to subsequently spy on everyone at any time. Now, if Rahm Emanuel was able to pull the UN in here, and they have been running drills and training out on 130th, right off the expressway before you get going to the south suburbs, they have been running training in the Beruvian Forest Preserve. Nobody has watched this, and this has been going on for 4 months. So you telling me, and I'm watching you all cover all the national news, and I'm looking at my home, and I'm like, how is no one seeing this?
Well, and to talk about the spy state that's going on, too, this was a story from Forbes today. Facebook's new facial recognition switch can find photos of you across the social network. They've already got this built into all the social medias, the Snapchats, the Facebooks, but they're just kind of rolling it out now. So people need to understand, I mean, you're most likely already on the grid. Your facial recognition is already on the grid, and they probably have a lot of this technology built in, and they can just, you know, scan your face and then bing, there you go.
Exactly. There you go.
So when they're like, excuse me, Dennis, we're here to take your firearm, and you say, hell no, for my cold dead hands, and then you want to get away or hide or whatever, they're going to be looking for you, and they're going to have your facial technology ready to go. You're not getting away, Dennis. They're going to find you, you American loving patriot Dennis in Chicago. They're going to find you. All right, we'll be right back.
This is the War Room.
All right, this is going to be fun. On Not Your Average Bimbo, featuring Andrea Mitchell, she decided to rail against Trump for his, well, what was basically a foreign policy speech. Here is Not Your Average Bimbo, Andrea Mitchell, trying to react to President Trump's speech.
Andrea, did you hear anything in there that might have perked up the ears of allies or adversaries overseas?
Well, there were some contradictions because he spoke of China and Russia as being revisionist countries who are aiming to hurt the United States. This after two really remarkably chummy conversations with Vladimir Putin in the last 4 days alone. He also, in talking about China as trying to compete against the United States, he is widely criticized by many economic and trade experts for having withdrawn from the TPP trade deal, which gave China an open field to...
No. Pause it right there. No. See, this is why Andrea's not your average bimbo, you see. She says things that, well, she just really can't back up. Trump killing the TPP? Where's all the negativity? Am I missing something here? Where's all the negativity? Is the stock market crashing? No. Are trade deals? No. They're not decomposing. We still have the trade deal. So what is she talking about? She's literally just saying crap with no substance. All right, let's go back to not your average bimbo.
China, an open field to compete and best the United States, where we basically left the field open to China and did not join all of our other
Asian allies. Pause it right there. You mean because China has a 15% corporate tax rate, and so that's why all of our businesses go over to China to manufacture? Trump wants to take our 35% rate to 20%? Wow, not your average bimbo. Boy, she really has it figured out here.
To make these multilateral trade agreements. The other thing is notable is that he doesn't speak about climate change, which has been declared by the Pentagon and by the Obama administration certainly as part of the national security challenge.
He didn't talk about climate change!
The effect that climate change has on refugee migration movements.
Oh, stop it right there. Stop it right there. This has been a talking point of a lot of liberals that somehow it just hit me. I realize what they're doing now. It didn't make sense until just now. The reason why they're making that absolutely ludicrous comparison or that ludicrous connection between climate change and refugees. Oh my gosh, I just got it. They think they can trick us into accepting climate change because they know that we want to slow down the open borders and the multiculturalism and slow down all of the refugees coming into our country. So they think they can trick us, convince us that if we do something about climate change, that all of a sudden these refugees are going to stop coming to our country. Ha! Ha! If we gave in on climate change, they would double down on the refugees they want to bring into this country. I mean, this is such a load of bull. This is hilarious to me. Andrea Mitchell, not your average bimbo, says that refugees are caused by climate change. Provides no science. Provides no evidence. I don't know. Maybe if you had a situation where all of a sudden it just started raining for 100 days and it got flooded and people had to move, then you might have a story. But she doesn't have that. She's got nothing. Let's go back to not your average bimbo, Andrea Mitchell.
Departure and an open criticism, as Hallie was just saying, sounding more like a campaign speech, like a stump speech, than a real national security strategy. And it comes only hours after our closest allies, France and Great Britain, lined up 14 to 1 against the United States at the UN Security Council today, rejecting the president's designation of Jerusalem as the legal capital of Israel.
All right, you know what? Let's have our embassy put the uneducated bimbo back down. She's good. Let's actually go to that clip. We actually have that clip right here. Let's go to clip 10. This is the clip she's talking about. Nikki Haley speaking after the sole veto of the UN resolution vote.
Given the chance to vote again on resolution 2334, I can say with complete confidence that the United States would vote no. Resolution 2334 demanded a halt to all Israeli settlement activity in East Jerusalem, even in the Jewish quarter of the Old City. This is something that no responsible person or country would ever expect Israel would do. Given the chance today, the United States would veto Resolution 2334 for another reason. It gave new life to an ugly creation of the Human Rights Council, the database of companies operating in Jewish communities. This is an effort to create a blacklist. Plain and simple. It is yet another obstacle to a negotiated peace. It is a stain on America's conscience that we gave the so-called BDS movement momentum by allowing the passage of Resolution 2334. For decades, Israel has withstood wave after wave of bias in the UN and its agencies. The United States has often stood beside Israel. We did not on December 23rd, 2016. We will not make that mistake again.
And then they go on and they actually vote, and she's the only one that votes, and she raises her hand. And then she says, the vote that just happened, I forget how she put it, but she's basically saying that the way the UN has just voted shows how you either do not care about the crisis between Israel and Palestine, or you have no clue what you're doing right now. And then she says, almost in kind of, I don't want to say a godfather threat, but she basically is like, we are not going to forget this vote, this catastrophe of a vote that went down. So, I mean, they basically, you know, it's fine. Let's just let the radical Palestinians just murder all the Jews. I mean, what is your problem with that? I mean, geez, Nikki, unbelievable. Oh, all right. I'll go to this clip later. The Democrats, they're really confused. They don't know what to do with this Al Franken situation here. Let's take another call before we break. Let's go to Steve in West Virginia. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the air.
Merry Christmas, Owen.
Merry Christmas, Steve.
Yeah, I was calling. I just want to say that I really love the way you all testimony against God every day, especially Alex. I love the way he testimonies towards God and his love for faith in this country. I just want to congratulate you all on that. And I was talking about why they want to put down the white race so much. I think it has to do with Christianity.
Because the studies are out now. Christians are the most discriminated against group on the planet.
That's right, because we believe in only one race, and that's a human race. And they know that they can't trick us into race bidding against the Afro-Americans, the Spanish. You know, they can't do that with somebody that believes in only one race, a human race. So they're trying to take us down just for that. You all need a T-shirt that says, I'm a Christian, not a global racist.
Hmm. That's not bad. You actually got a laugh track out of the crew back there. They liked that idea.
Well, I think it'd be a good one. Put it on a white T-shirt. And yeah. I just want to talk to you, too, about this Bob Mueller thing.
All right, you got 40 seconds.
Okay, I think he might be working inside because he's smarter than what he's been doing, getting these emails.
No, well, let me just clear this up. Let me just make your thought a little clear here. You think that Mueller and Trump are working together?
Yes,
and that Mueller's not the bad guy that we think he is?
That's right. I think that Trump got him at the very beginning, knew what was going on, and told Mueller and him, hey, listen, you work with me, because he's smarter than to elect all them people that were...
You know, honestly, I don't really have any evidence of that, but it is an interesting thought, especially when you go back and you look at the 9/11 stuff that Mueller was involved in, and I think Trump knows about 9/11, too.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful.
It's the Christmas spectacular extravaganza, and we are in the final stretch now, the final hour of the 34-hour live Christmas special, the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. Thanks to everybody who tuned in, and Merry Christmas to you and your loved ones. So, you've got the political agenda afoot to create an environment, which they have done so successfully, where a woman can accuse a man of sexual assault, and as soon as it gets picked up by anyone in the media, it's a story and it's real. No judge, no jury, no trial, no litigation, nothing, no defense, just I accuse, so you're guilty. And of course, this is all so they can hope this next time around when they accuse Trump of whatever sexual misdeeds that they want to bring up, this time they're hoping it will stick. But they've ran into some issues with that because first they realize that they have to drain Hollywood of all of the disgusting perverts there, like the Weinsteins, well, then they realize that they need to drain the government, too, with the $15 million hush funds that keep the sexual assault allegations on the low against members of Congress. And then you've got the Al Franken conundrum. Al Franken, a good liberal, a good Democrat, thinks that Trump should resign. But wait, then the allegations come against him. But not just allegations, photo evidence of him groping a sleeping woman. Now, he tried to deny all of, I think he ended up with like 9 or 10 accusers or maybe even higher than that. Now, he tries to deny all of it. He says it was just all good fun. He's not the sexual deviant that he is being portrayed as. But, Al, don't forget what you're in here now. We have to create an environment where as soon as you're accused, you're guilty, bud. You got to go. So public pressure mounts. Kristen Gillibrand, who Elizabeth Warren and others referred to as a slut, that was their words, comes out and opens her mouth, no pun intended, and says that Franken needs to resign. So then Franken says, okay, I'll resign maybe next week. Well, he still hasn't resigned. Now he's got Democrats like Patrick Leahy saying he shouldn't resign. And now the Democrats are changing their mind. There's no way Franken should resign. Here's a clip of the West Virginia senator that says Al Franken should not resign.
I want to ask you about something else that's happening in the Senate.
Sure.
And that is Senator Al Franken.
Yeah.
Is it true that you believe that Senator Al Franken has been railroaded, basically, by fellow Democrats into resigning and that you don't think he should resign?
I think that Al Franken should go through the process of what he's asked for, a due process. I believe that we should have a process.
Oh, but Trump doesn't get that.
And be protected.
No, you know what? Pause it right here. Pause it right here. You cannot find one clip, you cannot find one story, one article, one nothing of anyone saying the same about Trump. You notice that? So here is Senator Manchin saying, well, you know, Al Franken shouldn't have to resign until he gets his proper, you know, justice here. You know, let's give the guy a fair chance. But Trump... No. Trump never gets that. Trump never gets that offering. Trump never gets that opportunity. Amazing. They just wear their double standard bias on their face. I mean, this guy is incredible. Let's go back to him.
They have been violated, and they should be able to state that and be protected in doing it. And I believe a person that's been accused ought to have a process that we can investigate.
Pause it again. But again. What is he... This is unbelievable, guys. So Trump is immediately guilty because of a tape. Not even anything he did. They don't have a photo of him groping some beauty pageant contest winner. They don't have a photo of him trying to stick his hand up some girl's, you know, dress to grab her or whatever. They just have this tape that I think is edited. And so Trump's guilty because of this tape. But they have an actual photo of Al Franken groping Leanne Tweeden while she's sleeping, and he should have the right to defend himself. I mean, honestly, folks, if this doesn't show you the double standard of these people, I don't know what will. Let's go back.
Executed or be removed or found innocent of those charges or not of danger to where they should be someone eliminated.
Right, so you think it was premature that some of your fellow Democrats called for it. In fact, I read that you said...
Pause it. I see what happened here. I see what happened. This was just a miscommunication. It was premature. We just jumped the gun. We didn't realize that... Here in America, you're innocent until proven guilty, and, you know, this is a serious charge, so maybe we should do a little due diligence here. Oh, now we realize it. Now we realize it with Franken. I get it. With Trump, no. With the George Bush Sr., who's paralyzed from the waist down, no. He's, but, you know, let's give Franken a chance here. says the West Virginia senator, the Democrat, the double standard that wears his bias, his double standard, right on his face. Just right on his face. All right. Let's go ahead and put that aside, guys. We're about to go to break. Tyler Nixon and the crew with Alex and Roger have finally returned from their enjoyment of shooting guns. That's one of the things we like to do here in America. Let's go to the shooting range and practice our firearm capabilities. So Tyler Nixon will be joining us here in just a bit to discuss the legality of what the Mueller team has done to obtain these documents and these emails from the Trump team. Before we get there, though, I have to remind you about all the great specials. Now, look, we're in the final 30 minutes right now of the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. So I don't know how much longer these sales are going to last, folks. You've got free shipping store-wide. You've got 50% off. That's half off, like half of our supplements right now. Some of our best supplements, some of our most popular supplements. You're looking at Super Male Vitality, Brain Force Plus, Alpha Power, Cell Force, Survival Shield X2, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, the Real Red Pill, all Super Blue products. That's the toothpaste and the mouthwash. Secret 12, Vitamin B12, and all InfoWars Life Selects storable food products are 50% off. That's 50% off. That's half off every product I just mentioned. Some of our top sellers, some of the best rated products on our site, plus free shipping. And again, I don't know how much longer these sales are going to last, ladies and gentlemen. This is the final half hour of the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. So I'm not sure how much longer we can keep these sales up at InfoWarsStore.com. And just remember, they're going forward with their censorship, folks. They don't care that we caught them red-handed. They don't care that we know what they're doing. They're moving forward with it. And so they're going to try to delete us. They're going to try to censor us. They're going to try to erase us. It's up to you to keep us alive at InfoWarsStore.com. Tyler Nixon joins me on the other side.
Is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
It's a site called Infowars, and it's an interface to people of the planet awakening to global enslavement.
This is the heart of 1776.
Infowars, tomorrow's news today.
Congresswoman Jackie Speier, a Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, says the rumor is all over Capitol Hill that President Trump is going to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller. What Speier doesn't tell us is that she started the rumor at the direction of the hapless Adam Schiff, the congressman from California, who argues that taxpayers should continue to spend millions on his Russia probe, even though it has turned up absolutely no evidence of Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. This is why they hope to whip up a hysteria about Trump firing Mueller, although the president has made it clear that that is not his intention. Perhaps this is why Jackie Speier rhymes with liar. Roger Stone for InfoWars. Good God, I shudder to think what might have happened. Roger Stone for InfoWars. It was InfoWars that broke the news about the very first sexual assault accusations against Senator Al Franken. Then actor Tom Arnold, out of work, went on Twitter and claimed that I had coached Leanne Tweeden, the accuser. In fact, I have never met, communicated, or spoken to Tweeden. My source was in New York, and we brought you tomorrow's news today. Then Governor Arne Carlson came out, a former governor of Minnesota, saying that Franken should remain in office until we can examine the role of Roger Stone. Yet my role is only in reporting the news. Now, Richard Painter, an ethics lawyer in the Bush White House, has come forward to emulate Carlson, saying that Franken should not resign, and there should be an examination of Roger Stone's role. Good idea. Franken shouldn't resign. Let's have a full Senate investigation in which everyone, including Mr. Painter and Mr. Arnold, are under oath. I'm willing to go first. I'll tell you exactly how I learned about this and why I reported it. It seems that Mr. Painter won't do what I have done. I've sworn out a sworn affidavit about my role in this matter, yet maybe it's time for him to testify under oath about who told him of my involvement and how my involvement is any broader than reporting it for InfoWars. Roger Stone, your humble correspondent.
And there is my co-host, Roger Stone, reporting on the false claims against him. Man, they just do not stop, do they? And actually, you have the affidavit here with you. You were just showing it to me. And I was saying, you know, they're still going to come after him. They're not going to stop. It just doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter to these people.
No, I think, and Roger, I think I'm not going to steal his thunder. He'll read it on the air tomorrow, actually. Yeah, it's when you know someone, you work with someone, as I do with Stone, it's crazy when you see these accusations and allegations made that you know are patently false, that are literally just made up out of thin air. There's not even a thread of truth to them. And this is Richard Painter, or as you like to call him...
Dick Painter.
Dick Painter, exactly. He's he sort of is a bumped up from...
It's Dick Painter and Peter Stroke. Their names.
I don't exactly. Know. Tom Arnold.
What? Am I making a joke? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, sure. The least funny comedian in comedy, Tom Arnold, who came out and attacked Roger.
About, not even Tom Arnold can say Dick Painter.
No, he didn't come up with that. No, he didn't. He didn't.
He didn't. He didn't come up with How to Kill Time in the Bathroom by Peter Stroke either.
Why are you dragging me into this?
I know. I'm sorry.
I can't even say it on there. Okay. So no, Peter Stroke. Yeah. I mean, what a tool that guy is for sure.
No, but actually, the amazing thing that what you're saying though is so true for just like what you're saying. Like you work with Roger, but you and Roger are in contact. So, okay, you guys are working, you guys are parsing these things out when the false allegations come down. You know, I've got a bunch of friends and family back in St. Louis, and we don't stay in touch too often, but every once in a while, they'll come across some story that's Owen Schroyer and InfoWars or, you know, Russian agents or something like that. And so they'll send it to me and they'll be like what?
Yeah,
like,
and they don't dig. You know? And this is how they get away with fake news. They get away with smearing their opposition, smearing us, is by they put out these headlines, these sensational headlines. You never see the correction. For example, Roger Stone won the defamation case in New York against a strike suit, a harassment suit. He won the case. Now, when the harassment suit was in full swing, he was being called into court. He was testifying. Suddenly, it's all over the news.
Yeah,
He wins it. It's like two paragraphs buried.
Gone.
Maybe two stories. That's it. So, you know, they suppress it. And I worked for Newt Gingrich as well. And I saw this for the first time. This is back in 1994. I started. He was Republican whip. Contract with America was put out. Suddenly he's speaker. It was an amazing time. I was very privileged to be there. But we had put out the contract, a specific 10-point plan program to bring back America. You know, at that time, also, there was a huge gun control push on. There's the assault weapons ban of 94. That cost the Clintons Congress, frankly, and as it should have. And it was a long time coming. The Republicans hadn't controlled Congress in about 40 years at that point. But we put out these very specific plans, and the Democrats began their defamation campaign, which was to effectively just lie and say whatever they wanted about it. You're going to take away Social Security. You're going to shut down this. You're going to do this. You do that.
You're going to kick Granny off the edge.
Basically, yeah. That was the kernels of it. Back when it was Dick Gephardt and Pelosi was probably still there, but people like Henry Waxman, these really...
Oh,
really detestable.
He's a nightmarish looking fella.
Yeah, really weird people, weird looking guys. I mean, you know, it all started somewhat with Tip O'Neill as well. Tip O'Neill was a rank partisan. He didn't like Reagan. I mean, this whole, shuck and jive about, yeah, they were good buddies and they, you know, yeah, maybe once a year on St. Patrick's Day or something like that. But no, O'Neill was a partisan. He had nothing but contempt for Reagan. And, you know, I think he was smart in having that contempt as a liberal Democrat because Reagan was a threat to him and them.
Well, and it's the same tactics, though, that they use in the media. As you were just talking about, Roger Stone wins his case and all of a sudden they don't want to cover it. It's like, I remember there were a couple weeks right before the election during the campaign, where all the liberal media was running with it, Trump will crash the stock market. You know, big business says Trump is going to be bad for the economy. They ran with that all week. And then now that the economy's booming, the stock markets are closing at record seemingly every night, they don't touch it. They don't talk about it.
Used to be that when they put out a fake story, what I was talking about with Gingrich was worse, even worse, is we would get literally at his office, his congressional office and the speaker's office, thousands of calls a day of people outraged, like literally didn't even, weren't even prompted, not call, you know, Newt Gingrich, but just literally just news. On the lie, yeah, on the lies of the Democrats, yeah. We would be inundated and it would distract. I mean, that's how they do it. They want to muddy everything up. They want to make it difficult and complicated. They want to launch mobs on you, anything to tie you up while they continue to regroup and push for their next plan, push the next whatever agenda is. It's yeah, it's diabolical. That's all I can say. And it used to be, like you said, they'd push a big fake story and it'd be all over the media. And then suddenly if there was a chink in that armor, it would be not widely known. It might actually become a deal like, whoa, that was all wrong. Now it's literally, it's just an onslaught. There's no way. They don't even have to address a fake story from a week ago because there's been five of them in between.
Yeah.
Or since.
And I mean, part of that is almost unstoppable. But the fact that they never even want to correct themselves, they don't care that they put these total fake stories out there that the public believes. And then you talk about diabolical. On the other side, we're going to get into this this story here that's starting to reach across the interwebs here. Basically that these documents and the emails and everything that was obtained by the Mueller team in this probe perhaps was obtained illegally. Now, I think that that's redundant because I think anything that happens in this thing is illegal to begin with. I mean, the entire premise to me is illegal. The fact that they can, get Flynn on any charges because of this fake investigation to me is illegal. But we're going to get Tyler's expert analysis on the other side about the legality of what the Mueller team is doing to obtain these documents in the so-called Russia probe. It's the final segment of the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza brought to you by InfoWars. Merry Christmas to all of you out there. Support us at InfoWarsStore.com. They're breaking the law, folks, and we're going to break it down on the other side. Segment of the War Room here. Owen Schroyer, Tyler Nixon with you. Final segment of the Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. So you had these two stories come down the pipeline. One from Fox News, Trump transition lawyer, Mueller improperly obtained documents in Russia probe. Then you had from Law and Crime, legal analysis, why Mueller's seizure of transition emails likely violated the law. Now, Tyler is going to break this all down, but I'm going to pitch it to Tyler with this. With my opinion on this, I think that the entire thing needs to be looked at as illegal. I think that what they did to Flynn and what they did to Manafort and everything else that's been involved with this should be looked at as illegal. They made up the dossier. That is what they have used to do a lot of this activity. But specifically in how they've gotten these emails and these documents, what type of illegality could we be looking at here?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, looking at the big picture first. Basically, I view it as plundering for documents now. I think they realize that with the exposures of Peter Stroke and Bruce Ohn, I think his name was. Whatever.
Bruce Orr, who skipped his Senate right. Judiciary meeting, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think very much, and Weissman, of course, his, you know, being at a Hillary Clinton's election night supposed victory party. With that going on, I think all along they've known that they've been on tenuous ground because they're partisans. They know they're partisan. They know that their animus is there, and that's what they're operating out of. So they're just thinking to themselves, let's just grab as many documents and as much information as we can on our opposition, the Trump campaign. You know, you're talking about in the transition team, and I worked in the Bush-Cheney transition team in the Congressional Relations Department, or whatever you want to call it, office. So basically, we dealt with congressmen bringing in documents and sending people over saying, we want to hire this guy or whatever. So there would be, you know, personal resumes, there would be notes, there would be evaluations of people, a lot of sensitive information, which, you know, this is the year 2001. So fast forward, you know, 15, 16 years. There's a lot of sensitive information on these emails. They went in and basically ran, I guess you could say, the typical process that you would use to obtain these documents, especially in a sensitive investigation where you want to make sure there's no poison tree beneath the fruit that's being born out of any of this. So, you know, the fact that Mueller did not go and get a subpoena, did not go by the regular process, says to me either basically these lower-level prosecutors were just negligent, which, you know, they're supposed to be the hotshot best attorneys around, or frankly, they know that they're obtaining them just to get their hands on them because, well, sure, guess what, they're going to make their way into the hands of the Clinton operatives.
And just to jump in briefly, I don't know if you guys can hear me, but you've got them when they did these raids on people's houses, grabbing stuff that wasn't in the warrants. So for me, your piece on InfoWars.com is critical because it lays all this out, and that's why Mueller looks like he's going to punt for another year now. But now you have the Hezbollah gun drug running and cocaine running in the United States with the knowledge of Obama, him gracing it, Fast and Furious shipping weapons down to him that we first broke last March with Lieutenant Colonel Smith-Meck of the Marines, who was retiring at the time. So, I mean, that's just how criminal this whole thing is. So I think Russia's key to cover. But I think we're starting to win that fight. I think it's now time to cover all the other crimes they've been committing. And so big shows tomorrow on that subject. But we need to keep pushing, exposing the Russia thing, because it's all the crimes they've committed. You've got this Justice Department official over the whole Russia thing, or who makes the call for millions to go to threat Fusion GPS with millions of dollars. That's a payment from government to his wife right there, just like the deputy director with the Clintons giving him $500,000. So the whole thing, there's just crimes everywhere that are blaring. And so that's really what we need to be focusing on. I know we keep defending Trump didn't do anything, there's no proof. People know that now. That's why the Democrats are getting desperate, moving on to all the other garbage and saying they just want martial law and, you know, Trump basically killed this time. But it's good having you in studio. Let you guys finish up. War Room in about 8-9 minutes is over. We'll kick off tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Central, with The Real News with David 9. I want to say great to all the crew and viewers and listeners who've tuned in during the 34-hour broadcast as well. But back to you guys.
All right, Alex Jones, thank you so much. And, you know, part of with this dossier thing that they fabricated, the Obama's FBI offered Christopher Steele $50,000 to confirm it. See, that they knew that it was fake. They knew they faked it. They knew that they were going to use this to do all this illicit activity and get all these documents. So they were like, well, crap, we got to cover our back.
Right.
Let's pay this guy to confirm that it's real. And even he was like, no, this is totally fake.
There was a lot of scrambling going on. Everybody expected Trump to lose and Hillary to win, and they weren't hedging any bets. And the bottom line is that when Trump won,
they did have to have their insurance policy, though, according to Peter Strzok.
And that's exactly what you're seeing is they're desperately plundering. So they came up with this anything. It's literally anything they could come up with. I think they felt like a Russia story they could control somehow. They came up with this Russia collusion. I mean, the Clintons are up to their eyelids.
That's why your story that now is on InfoWars.com that you put together is so key, because it shows how if they really want to push this forward with Russia, it's all going to end up on them.
It amazes me. It's like accuse your opponents of your own crimes, I guess, you know, Alinskyite tactics, whatever it is. I don't know why they chose that. I think it's because they felt they could control the investigation with regard to Uranium One, which Robert Mueller was. I mean, there was so much that went on that was covered over, swept under the rug. With regard to Uranium One, I would urge you to go to InfoWars. It's laid out there. I broke it down as simply as possible. Bill Clinton flying to Kazakhstan, securing uranium contracts. Then the next step, they put them in under a company of Bill Clinton donors and Clinton Foundation donors. Then Rosatom comes in, which is the Russian uranium agency, so to speak, through a compromised American company in Bethesda, Maryland. They begin the process of having Uranium One acquired by Rosatom after it's, you know, check it out, folks. You'll break it down.
So you're telling me you actually have actual names and facts and connections for a Russian collusion there. Amazing.
Don't ask me. It was in the New York Times in 2015 well. But, you know, they have amnesia over there at the old gray lady.
It's not Trump, though. It's never Trump when these things actually get discovered here. And as Alex was saying, you know, they want to complain about Trump obstructing. How about President Obama literally supporting terrorists? I mean, protecting Hezbollah terrorists. I mean, how is that not a bigger story? I want to try to squeeze these calls in, but yeah, I want to just say one more thing, Tyler. If let's say in any legal situation, if you're evaluating a situation, you have two subjects, and you've got one subject that did not have an illegal server, was not a government employee, did not smash said illegal server and also did turn over documents willingly, versus another subject that did have an illegal server, did smash said illegal server, was a government employee, and didn't cooperate by handing over the documents. Which subject would you say is probably guilty?
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I'll break it down for you even further. Fake Russia collusion versus real treason involving Uranium One, and frankly, the abuse of our judicial and investigative process, our justice system, in service to this Clinton BS collusion story that's been cooked up about the president.
I agree. And, you know, you can't throw treason around lightly.
But, or sedition, I mean, in this case,
but,
I would
but
say.
But I agree. That's what we're dealing with. All right, let's squeeze in two really quick calls you guys have been holding. Ryan in New Jersey, you got 60 seconds. I got to move on. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, I just want to give a shout-out to Millie, looking really good in that elf outfit last night. at the risk of, you know, triggering a little.
Yeah, whoa, you just assaulted our reporter, buddy. Come on.
Sorry about that. Sue me. But I just wanted to say, man, like, I wish I could hear more from you guys about the QAnon post, because that guy has been eerily accurate. And most recently, you know, he's on a 10-day blackout from posting. But he said repeatedly that they have a very special place for GS, which alludes to George Soros. And he repeated the phrase, a very special place, multiple times.
Well, let me just answer your question. I can't report on an anonymous post that I can't prove right or wrong.
Right,
a,
right, yeah.
B, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that. And I'm not discounting, you know, the things said, but, you know, Alex Jones says similar things that, you know, he has intel on that get proven right, too. So
I understand. Yeah.
But, it's very interesting. What do you think about QAnon?
Yeah, I don't follow it. And again, I think it's for folks who want to kind of be able to follow a lot of the loose threads that are out there. I think we have enough hard evidence, at least with regard to the Russia fake Russia scandal and the corruption that's gone on in the special counsel's office and within the Justice Department and with all these Clinton holdovers that, you know, that you don't really need to go to QAnon per se for your information. But it is good, I think, predictively. The problem is weeding through it all and figuring out what makes sense.
Yeah. And again, we can't report on it just because it's an anonymous post. Ryan, sorry, I got to move on to Alina in New York. You've got the final 50 seconds. Go ahead. Do we have Alina? We've got something. You've got 3, 2, and at the buzzer, nothing. All right. Thank you so much for the call. Anyway, hey, did you hear about this? I couldn't believe that this didn't get more play today in the media. Carlos Slim sells more than half of his stake in the New York Times.
Really?
Well, right?
He sees a failing pile of garbage. Oh, no, that's Daily Beast, I guess it would be, right?
It is the failing New York Times.
Yes, failing New York
Times. It is the failing New York Times.
Very much is a failing New York
I think
Times.
The failing pile of garbage he referred to was the
Daily Beast,
was it,
I
was
think.
Was it Daily Beast? Yeah, failing pile of garbage?
It was.
So Slim wants to dump the failing New York Times. Hey, thanks to everyone that supported us. InfoWarsStore.com. Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.